girls, super fit young Australians, and Olympic Brazil nuts. It's that time again. Time to down the tools and grab a fistful of golden glory on the Mardi Gras of medals. With those two champions of the podium, rampaging Roy Slaven and HG Nelson. HG.
Thanks very much, Jumpin' Jai, the centimetre guy. Roy Slaven, quickly an update from the pool. The war was on. FM over v King. It looks as though King's won.
King's won. The United States have beaten Russia, HG, in the 100 metres breaststroke.
For women. So that's an incredible
result. Well, it's a triumph for goodness over evil.
Beautifully
as
put.
I'm seeing it, HG.
Goodness over evil.
Goodness over evil. And what a terrific day it is here. What is
day
today?
Day three. Traditionally on the Olympic calendar for the Summer Games, day three is Brazilian barbecue day. And we're celebrating that by I'm off to a restaurant later tonight where I'm going to have a go at a 1.7 kg Wagyu beef burger. It's just going to set me right back, but I'm looking forward to it enormously. Welcome to Rio, Roy. Welcome to the pool. Welcome to the Murray Rose pool. A lot of people are asking us, you know, via the internet, et cetera, and tweets and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Where are we? The card table is set up down the deep end, just towards the marshalling area where all the athletes come
in.
We've got a terrific seat. Best seats in the house.
Best seat in the house, actually. And it's wonderful to be here. And what a great 24 hours it's been, in case any Aussies back home have missed it. New Zealand have won silver in the rugby sevens. And I'd say congratulations to those plucky Kiwis. They almost brought it home. Terrific performance, really. Sure, they dudded a little bit. One was sent off for a little while for
knock-ons.
Being stupid, knock-ons, etc. But congratulations. Can I just say congratulations to the Pearls? The Aussie Pearls.
Golden just Pearls.
Golden Pearls. Right. Just a little bit too good for the... those plucky New Zealanders.
Can I point out also, I had a look at the New Zealand team sheet. Not one person was born on Anzac Day.
No, that's right.
Do you know what I mean? Do you
well,
see what I'm coming
about
from?
New Zealand, HG. No one in New Zealand has ever been born on Anzac Day. And that is a fact. You can go to any records. That is a fact. In other news, HG, the Boomers have beaten Serbia, and this rainbow connection, I'm calling it, between Della Vadova and Big Andrew Bogut, by golly, that's got a road to travel. And I think we meet the Americans the day after tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to this because I think this is a great opportunity for the Australians to really step up in this particular event.
Is that your call?
That's my call. Now, two other just very quick items here, HG. We might have a chance to dwell on these a little bit later on. Seven's coverage has been described as crap. I think that's unfair at this stage. I think that's a little bit unfair at this
stage. Give me that again. Seven's coverage has been described as crap.
Yeah.
Hang on. They've got Hamish McLaughlin.
I know.
They've got Mel McLaughlin.
I know.
No coverage has ever had two McLaughlins setting it up.
I know. Especially that handover, that terrific
that's
handover
fantastic.
They've got going.
And
I love that.
I saw Hamish talking to Bruce the other day. I thought
that
was first class.
Oh, I was riveted. What? Just to get the thoughts of Bruce.
It's way
and
more...
And that Hamish, he can ask questions. He asked Catherine Skinner two questions which set me back.
Mm-hmm.
The first was, what does this medal mean to you emotionally? Well, man, I thought, where can you go after this? Well, he followed it up with, and wait for it, what does this gold medal mean to your family emotionally?
And Roy, you quite sensibly bagged the Channel 7 commentary in our opening remarks, but how are you getting on with the app?
The app's great, isn't it?
It is. The great thing is you don't miss a thing on the app.
Well, you don't miss any ads. That's what I like about the app. You don't get much Olympic coverage, but those ads, they look terrific coming through the app, don't they? They have a sort of freshness about them.
That you
miss if you're watching it, you know, free to air.
Now, Roy, the pool highlights have been a very dramatic day at the pool as we see the medal ceremony for the 100 metres backstroke, I think it was.
Yes.
Now,
that's where the C-bomb crashed.
Yes, the C-bomb crashed. You know, Australia, would you say it was a learning experience for
you'd like to think so, wouldn't you? Look, we came, what, 7th and 8th, respectively. We're,
fourth for Mitchie Larkin
in
the backstroke, but the girls got 7th and 8th, but they're in the final.
I know.
And
still, we're unaccustomed to seeing Australians right on the outside lanes for a start. So
we don't know where to look.
We don't know where to look.
And this pool now,
we're usually in lanes 3, 4, or 5.
you know, you and I saw you have a swim earlier before we started our commentary and getting ready for a commentary.
Yeah.
And you felt as though the pool was a little cool today.
Yeah, it was.
Normally we like the pool for swimmers at 25 degrees or 26 degrees, you know, centigrade.
Yeah, well, but that's the Olympic standard.
Olympic standard, but I think it might have been down around 21 today.
It was. It was quite cool.
And
quite cool. It wouldn't surprise me if there was an outbreak of colds.
In the village?
In the village, yeah. I don't like this because a lot of the swimmers got out cold today. I got out cold, you know, and Eamon Sullivan was there, and I hadn't seen him in years. And I said, how are you finding? He said, I'm cold, Roy, I'm cold. And I said, so am I, mate. You know, so we had something in common. It was a sort of bonding moment.
And the shortness of the pool, Roy. Yeah. A lot of world records.
There are.
Ledecky smashed world records.
I know.
We've had the Swedish swimmer, Sundström, smashed world records.
Yep. Well, I had the laser down here last night. I reckon it's about 15 centimetres short.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that translates into about 2/1000ths of a second.
Right.
So it's significant, isn't it?
Now, the big story that broke overnight from the pool is the cupping on Michael Phelps. People have got in touch with through us the various ways you can get hold of us at RoyandHG@MMM.com.au. About 1,000 emails saying what were those round circles, those dark brown circles on Phelps yesterday. The Mardi Gras of medals, that's the hashtag. Mardi Gras of medals, hashtag RoyandHG. A lot of comment about the medals.
Yeah.
And, sorry, about the...
the cupping.
The cupping, sorry, the cupping marks. Roy,
well, it's a very old-fashioned idea,
Chinese,
isn't it?
Chinese in origin?
Well, I suppose it is Chinese. It must have come along via the Silk Road, one imagines, HG.
To America?
Well, certainly to the United Kingdom. In the 17th century, it was used quite famously on the king.
The king?
Yes.
Now, have you tried
King George.
And have you tried
King George was mad. He might
George
have porphyritis or something like that.
George
III. His wee changed colour and he went... Starkers.
Yeah, was he an Olympian?
He could have been, though.
A shooter?
Had he stayed focused. Yeah, an archer. He wasn't bad as an archer. But they tried the cups on him. It didn't work.
Right. Can I ask, have you tried it and has it improved your
performance? Yes, I have tried it.
Did you get anything out of it?
No, it just hurt.
Right.
It hurt like buggery.
Now, do you think it's akin to cheating, though, Roy? I mean...
Cupping.
You know, do you know what I mean? We're talking about drugs here a lot, and we've had this war here between Lily King. We've just seen this war between Lily King and the Russian swimmer, Efimova, in the race there.
Are you suggesting they've been doing up to the cupping business?
I think they've been cupping.
I think the Russians have been cupping for a long time, you know. There was an old saying, if you're going to cup, you can't cut it. That's what we used to say about people who used to cup in days gone by. We used to laugh at them. We used to slag off at them. Cuppers. We hated them. A lot of New Zealanders used to cup.
Roy and HG, the Mardi Gras of medals. Midday on Triple M. For Harvey Norman, look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
And Roy, we've had a couple of tweets from people stuck in Rio traffic, enjoying the show, obviously, and passing the time listening to us while they get to their various venues and hopefully on time. How have you found getting around here in Rio?
Easy. Look, I found the locals charming. They really want to help as soon as they know you're Australian. They reach out. I've had terrific lifts. I've met some terrific people. I don't speak the language very well and they don't speak English, but that's fine. We get by in a sort of dumb show. I do a lot of nodding and smiling. They do the same and they get me here on time.
And I notice you do a lot of yelling when they don't seem to understand that you
want
to go to
the Murray
Rose.
Yes, if you slow down and yell, the message gets through. Yep.
And what's great is how familiar they are with Murray Rose.
Yes.
Then the Murray Rose legend, which was beautifully caught, I think, in Australia last night on Australian Story on the ABC.
Yep.
It was just a terrific, you know,
people have forgotten how big he was.
He was huge. He was a pop star in his era.
He was.
Came from nowhere with his vegetarian diet and
that's
crazy
right.
ideas that would be right at home here in Rio.
Yes.
And, look, it was just a great tribute and the homage that the Olympic movement has paid in naming this fabulous facility where we've got the 200 butterfly coming up semi-finals in just a moment is just a terrific acknowledgement of what Australian swimming has done for world swimming.
I know. And having the name Murray Rose go around Brazil the way it is. I mean, there's really been a rainbow connection, hasn't there, between Australia and Brazil, linked, oddly, by Murray Rose.
I know.
And who would have thought? And again, Murray Rose, born on Anzac Day.
I know. It's an incredible story, this Anzac Day. It's only been unearthed now. Look, I wanted, before we come to romance in the pool, and let's face it, it is very, very romantic here in Rio. People forget that. You only have to see landscape. I hope the pictures are getting through Seven, of how romantic it is here. Mm. The landscape, the harbour, the wonderful hills around us, Christ the Redeemer up there, on the big bloke, you know, casting a benign spell over the whole thing. It's magic.
And the romance, HG, you've just got to say Copacabana.
Mm-hmm. And it says it all, doesn't it?
It says it all, doesn't it? Mm. Or Ipanema.
Mm. Or Sergio Mendes.
Sergio Mendes, Brazil 66. You're exactly right. I mean, and you're halfway there. I mean, that's the badinage is over. Next thing you know, you're horizontal.
Now, can I point out that this great thing about what Australia's done with Mac Horton and this whole red boat fiasco that Johnny Bertrand, this wheeze Johnny Bertrand cooked up. I mean, I've never met a more stroppy Olympics, been to a more stroppy Olympics, and yet the Australianness, you know, covers it all with this great sense of, you know, fun and, you know, obviously wearing less.
Mm.
Now, the speaking of wearing less, the great romance today in the pool of Mitch Larkin and Emily Seebohm, well, they had something in common at the end of the day, which they may not have had at the start of the day.
Failure in the pool. And that's something they can share for the rest of their lives. You know, they can look up on the...
Internet.
Yep. Well, they can look up on their shelves and see an absence of medals and say, well, that was us. That was us back then.
I know.
That was our heyday.
That's right. You know what brought them together was a shared interest in the Battle of Long Tan?
I had no idea.
No, that's right.
I had no idea. I thought the real thing they had in common is they weren't born on Anzac Day, neither of them.
That's absolutely right. We only discovered that. And, of course, the pool has been a great home for romantic couples. We only have to think of Eamon Sullivan and Stephanie Rice. Michael Klim and Gian Rooney, that was one that surprised me. I had no idea.
I'd forgotten all about that one. Yeah, isn't there a suggestion, actually, that there might be one happening on the basketball court?
Oh, well, we might get to that later. I don't want to go off half-cocked on that. I want to get my facts straight
get... Yeah. But it doesn't surprise me swimmers falling in love. I mean, look at Murray Rose.
I know. That was writ large last night.
Yeah.
In Australia, how much the romance meant to Murray. The romance of the Olympics, the romance of...
I know. Murray always had a queue outside his room.
Roy, you know, if everything had gone to plan, Emily and Mitch would have been front page news, according to James Willoughby, writing in the online world. Yep. Sadly, it came off the rails, but I would say that it's great that Seebohm and Larkin know all about the highs and lows of being professional swimmer, and it helps their relationship. Mm-hmm. We understand, this is according to Emily, we understand what each other's going through. It makes it easier when I can tell him my swimming, you know, problems, he'll understand, whereas other people would think he was talking in code, or we were talking in some sort of weird code.
That.
We relate to each other, have a strong connection because of this.
Yep.
We talk about our worries, but can too much swimming talk be self-defeating?
Yeah.
Because you want to go somewhere. That Battle of Long Tan, which is great, and drew them together initially, you can only talk about that for so much. Mm. And then swimming intrudes.
Yeah.
But you need another topic, really, don't you?
Yeah, you sort of do. Because, you know, after you've, you know, how was the water today?
Mm.
Oh, well, it wasn't bad. Was it cool? Yeah, a little bit cool. Yeah, okay. How was the black line? Yeah, good, nice and straight. How many laps did you do? 20.
I know.
I did was that 20 enough? Yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, see, you've exhausted it then, haven't you?
You have.
I mean, unless you can invent a new way of, oh, I've got this new stroke. Oh, yeah, show us it.
Now.
You know?
Roy,
but that doesn't happen often. I mean, how often does a new stroke emerge?
Well,
never
in our lifetime.
Never in our lifetime.
No. Now, look, can I say that, and I know you don't want to talk about this, but I feel as though I should be drawn to let the listeners know, especially across Australia, that you've had a run of outs to get yourself here. And at some points you thought the dream might be over, that you'd never call it the Olympics again.
That's true.
And when you were in that induced coma 3 weeks ago, I thought, there's not a way you're going to be ready for this.
Yeah, well, you gave up, didn't you?
I did. I gave up. And then, of course, they brought you around knowing the Olympics were coming too. And I thought, wow, that's a miracle of medical science right there.
Well, smelling salts. It was just smelling salts and it worked.
And then they gave you a liver transplant, which didn't take.
No, it didn't.
Your body rejected it because you got the wrong liver. Now, that can happen in a hospital, busy hospital.
Well, it was a duck liver. It was never going to work. So, I don't know. You know how surgeons every now and again
go silly,
come in with a silly idea. You know, oh, well, let's new try stroke. A duck liver on him. Yeah, all right. They happen to have one there. Well, of course it didn't take.
Now, Then, of course, there was learning to walk again, and you only really became
learning
upright.
To speak again.
Yeah, that's right. Well, all that's happened in the last, you know, 2 or 3 days, really, because we came to Rio. You came in really in a wheelchair.
I did.
You know, and it was embarrassing, really, to be quite honest.
Well, I know.
Talking.
I know. I was just a dribbling idiot.
You can't
I was a dribbling idiot. I know.
You
I know.
Said,
mercifully,
I'll be right
I came
night.
Good. Yeah. And you know, I put it down to Aussie spirit. A lot of people say to me, is it Aussie spirit? Well, I have to say it is. I can't put it down to anything else, you know, unless it's Christ the Redeemer, unless it's just the magic of Rio.
The magic of Rio.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't want to talk about that because it's a journey, Roy, and you've travelled that journey, you know, better than anybody else I could ever imagine. You know, it's just been incredible to do this thing that you're doing for the Olympics here at the pool, behind the Triple M card table and all that
sort of stuff.
But athletes, some athletes have made that journey with you. That's what amazes me. James Magnussen, for instance.
Yes, yes.
You know, extremely difficult conditions for the bloke. The missile, he's never fired as nearly as I can tell the missile.
No.
But
I think it's often a mistake to call people missiles. Remember what happened to Mark Philippoussis once they called him the Scud? He never won again.
Oh, the difficulty, more difficulty was when they called him the poo.
Oh, that's what he took to swimming, didn't he? Because he found he could float.
And Roy, I just saw you having a word to Prince Albert of Monaco. That must have been a real thrill. The Prince, of course, here to present the medals in the upcoming medal ceremony.
Look, I hadn't seen him since Athens.
Hadn't you?
No.
I thought you might have bumped into him when he was still running in the bobsleigh
for
Monaco.
No, I missed that completely.
Oh, right.
I missed that completely, but it's always good to see him. You can always pick up where you left off. Not that we had much to lift up anymore, but anyway,
it was just
a wave and a nod. Good on you, Prince, I said. He said, good on you. You bloke still at it? I said, yeah.
Have you seen Lord Gosper speaking of old identities around
the
patch?
No, I haven't. Only from a distance. Only through the binoculars. Yeah, he looked good.
Now, we've just seen the 200 metres butterfly semi-finals for blokes.
Mm.
Hungary in the more important of the semi-finals, from my way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Kender Esai from Hungary has won it, beating Phelps, that is the 19-gold medal, Michael Phelps, by 0.16 of a second.
Yeah.
But he could pick that Phelps.
That was a semi-final. I mean, Phelps is, I mean, he's an old dog, isn't he?
Yeah, very old dog.
He's an old dog and he's got a lot of tricks and he's got what I call pool craft.
Pool craft?
Pool craft. And that pool craft, you don't give all. You don't let your opponent know exactly what you're capable of until the final.
Now.
Always hold back a little in reserve.
What an excellent thing.
Prince Albert of Monaco was up to that as well.
He certainly was. He certainly was. Mm. Now, look, Roy, pool craft. I think it's fair to say that Mac Horton has written a new book in pool craft, The Red Boat Work.
Yep.
But what other pool craft techniques did you have up your sleeves? Obviously, nicking people's speedos was a good one.
Sure.
You know, honestly, rubbing dinker rub into the speedos and then putting them back in the bag. Simple things like that.
Yeah.
What else did you get up to?
Well, I remember the great Forbes Carlyle HG. He said to me once, Roy, always know where you are in the pool. And I thought, you're joking, you know, what a stupid bloody thing. He's so right.
Mm-hmm.
He's so right. If you know where you are in the pool, chances are you know where everybody else is. If you know where everybody else is, you know where you are with respect to them. And if you know you're in front and the rest are behind you, you know you're in front because you know where you are in the pool. You know you're winning. Always know when you're winning.
Is that where Mitch and Emily went wrong today?
I think so.
They didn't know where they were in the pool. They forgot the first rule of swimming from Forbes Carlyle. Now, the Just Shoot Me campaign, which Roy and I have begun here in Rio following our golden success in the trap the other day.
This was Catherine Skinner, wasn't it?
Catherine Skinner. I've been amazed by the response. I didn't, you know, Roy and I put these ideas up and then think, well, maybe people would be interested or maybe they won't. Usually they're not because they're outlandish and uninteresting ideas. We understand that. But people have got onto RoyNHG at triplem.com.au and the Mardi Gras of medals hashtag and the hashtag RoyNHG and saying, yes, we want to see this show.
People love shooting, don't they?
They just don't.
It looks like Aussies love shooting.
Aussies love shooting.
We're winners at it, and we love doing it. We're not suggesting we go silly about it. We're not suggesting, you know, open carry in primary schools. None of that. No. Registered weapons, gun clubs, get out,
prime
register.
Prime time television.
Yeah.
You know, obviously a mixed card of events,
yes.
Teams events,
yes.
Trap, yep. Pigeons, all that sort
age
of stuff.
Age-based and weight-based. So Australia's fattest shooter. Now there's a show. Hey, isn't there? Someone who can put away 24, 25 pies and a couple of hot dogs and blast away
You know? Acne trap.
Yeah.
Now, look, can I point out that...
And little blokes and big weapons, you know, like jockeys with bazookas. People would love that.
Can I tell you that Michael Diamonds represented Australia at the Olympic Games since, I think, 1988.
Yeah.
He's won a number of gold medals. Yeah. And look, by a remarkable quirk of fate, and this gives you an idea of how shooting has taken over here at the Olympics.
Yep.
Remarkable quirk of fate. Yeah. I should have to explain that Michael Diamond can't be here due to problems with police and selection and all that sort of stuff and court cases.
Yeah,
anyway, remarkable quirk of fate. Diamond's solicitor, Glenn Cable, competed yesterday for Fiji in the men's trap competition.
I'll be buggered.
The event that Michael Diamond would have represented Australia in had he been here.
You mean he would have been shooting against his solicitor had he been picked?
That's what I mean.
Man, that is crazy.
I know.
There's a show in that.
Lawyers with guns.
Lawyers with guns. Yeah, why not?
Now,
that's a great idea. Now, I thought where you were heading with this is you thought Michael Diamond would be a terrific host of this Just Shoot Me show. You know, he and Grant Denyer or something like that. Oh. Someone with a bit of personality, you know?
Right. Or Basil Zemplis from
the pool. Yes, yes. Now. Yes, yes. Or one of the McLaughlins.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. They'd be the host and then they cross to Basil and, with special comments from Michael Diamond.
That's it.
Now, obviously, Cable 53 was on his way to his fourth Games. He was born in Britain, Australia, but when he lost out on appeal to represent our nation, that is the green and gold, in 2000, he went to Fiji on business, founded their National Shooting Association and began competing from at Olympic level.
I'll be back. That's such a great story.
It is. That's your opening.
Yeah.
And then you get the contestants out.
That's
obviously,
right.
Cable comes out with Michael Diamond, and all of a sudden, you're into the outbreak. Can you get
on to Roy and HG, the Mardi Gras of medals. Midday on Triple M. For Harvey Norman, look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.
You're at the Murray Rose Pool here as we now gear up for the 200 women's IM semi-finals. So individual medley, this will be an exciting event. There's two, obviously, semi-finals and obviously the quickest eight go through to the big one. Now, Roy, when we got here the other day and set up the card table, a great sort of what I could only describe as a great dark cloud hovered over the Olympics because one of the Olympics' greatest supporters here in Brazil, Ivo Pitangui, the plastic surgeon renowned for his celebrity patients, had died.
Yeah.
He was a cultural icon in the country and really did a lot of important work with famous people, famous people like Jackie Onassis, Elizabeth Taylor, Sophie Loren, Jennifer Hawkins, Gina Lola Brigida. But he always kept his list of patients a secret.
He did.
So we're only guessing that they're his patients. He was only last week on Friday. Sadly, we arrived too late because we missed the opening ceremony. I would have loved to have just got his thoughts on the Olympics and... you know, butt work.
Yep.
He briefly carried the Olympic torch ahead of the opening ceremony into the main stadium, the Maracana. He died of a heart attack at home in his rather exclusive Rio neighbourhood.
Yep.
He'd been suffering from a kidney illness since last year.
Yep.
And he was the son of a doctor. Pitangui apparently fainted the first time he saw surgery, but he went on to invent procedures like the Brazilian butt lift.
The butt lift,
Which is a technique that's been adopted elsewhere.
Worldwide,
And of course, he put Brazil on the map as a plastic surgery destination and helped pave the way for the acceptance of medical tourism industries booming in many parts of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a significant part of Brazilian, you know, the economy, the GDP. A lot of it was plastic surgery. And I can understand that. I mean, these days, it's hard to imagine that there was a time when if you were born with a bad butt, you had to live with it. He revolutionized this. So you could look in the mirror and say, well, God, I'm so disappointed with my butt. Where do I go? Brazil. You queue up. Next thing you know, you've got a butt that you're proud of. A butt that works, is fully functional, and looks great as well. And it wasn't only women, HG. You know,
blokes.
They say about 75% of Brazilians themselves had their butts fixed by this bloke.
It's a hell of an industry.
I know.
And you know, previous to this, people used to wear pads.
I know.
You know, they all wanted to look
butt lifters.
Butt lifters. Yep. They all wanted to look like Stumpy Boone in the old days.
That's right.
And you could go down to Myers or you could go to David Jones in Australia or even into Target and Kmart and pick a pair like you wanted off the shelf and just stick them on.
Yep. That's it.
But this guy's changed all that. And get this. After a huge circus tent caught fire and burned hundreds of spectators in one of the world's worst fires in 1961, Pitangui rushed to the site to help save lives and later repaired the burn victims.
Well, that was the weird thing about that particular fire, because most people had their asses burnt.
And some good news, Roy, at last in the pool here at the Murray Rose in Rio. Women's 200 IM semi-final. The big news is
Alicia Coutts third in the first, so she'll be in the finals.
She should make it into the final, depending on what happens in this next race. But that's an excellent result for Australia.
It is good,
I think they've got quite big hopes, although she needs to pick up a game a bit.
She looked to be struggling in that freestyle leg, didn't she? In the final leg,
she was going to get run over if she keeps going like that. Now,
it just seemed to me she forgot where she was in the pool.
That was very right. About halfway down, you could see us struggling.
Yeah, where am I? Yeah. Had that where am I look. You know, and once you're confused, you're finished.
Now, on the Twitter, on the Mardi Gras medals, Josh Barnett has got in touch with
Josh,
us here at the
loves
the
his
Murray
Olympics,
Rose.
Josh, yeah.
Now, he mentions that back in Australia, the Bathurst was launched this morning, and why the heck isn't motor racing in the Olympics better than skateboarding? That is a topic, isn't it?
That is a topic. Now, could I be more specific here? Could I suggest the V8 supercars should be in the Olympics?
Well, can
not just motor racing, not Formula One. V8 supercars.
Well, I think we've got two issues here, Roy. Yeah, right. I'm like you, right up behind the idea that motorsport is part of the Olympics.
Yeah.
I think a full set of, you know, obviously the wedge in is through V8 supercars.
Sure.
Tokyo demonstration event. Once they see it, they're going to get involved. They're going
the world will fall in love with the romance of the V8.
And then we go motorbikes.
Yep.
We go funny cars.
Yep.
We go monster trucks.
Monster trucks.
All these sort of things.
Yeah, utes.
Fall under the spell.
Yeah.
I mean, there's days.
Go-karts.
Go-karts, OTQs.
Yeah.
Stocks, super stocks,
drags. Yeah, go-karts for kids under the age of six.
Is that going to be an Olympic sport?
That's what I'd like to see. I think everyone would. Why can't the kids get involved in the Olympics? Hey? Hey, why have you got to be, you know, why is it just for adults?
13.
Yeah.
Well, look, if you've got ideas like that, RoyNHG@MMM.com.au, that's the email, and then on Twitter, Mardi Gras medals and hashtag RoyNHG.
It'd be lovely to see Frosty Winterbottom with a gold medal, wouldn't it?
Whoa.
Hey.
That's fantastic. And imagine the rug they'd cut in the village once the event was over.
I know.
I mean, Frosty Winterbottom with a gold medal.
With a gold medal.
I mean, that's a dream, isn't it? Will we live to see that, Roy? That's just fantastic. Now, I noticed you were having a bit of a talk with one of our greats in the basketball, the big Bogut.
Oh, yeah.
You seem to be talking to him about, and I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too early, but it appears that romance has already blossomed and young Bogut has been touched by Cupid's wing. Here
Cupid's
in the
wing and Cupid's arrow.
Well, yeah, I forgot what Cupid did there for a while. But certainly the...
Cupid is always around Rio, isn't he? He's always loitering.
Well, it's the city of romance.
It's the city of romance.
I mean, they say Paris is the city of romance. Mm. I think that's wrong.
Yeah.
I think already we proved
the
kids in the pool and this one on the basketball court is a beauty.
Yeah. Well, there appears to be something going on between the Boomers and the Opals, doesn't there?
There does. It does.
And could I suggest we're looking at our centres in both teams appear to be in a sort of flirting badinage, aren't they? Little shots across the bow, across the bow, I should say. And they're really Cupid's little arrows being fired from one to the other, aren't they?
They are. And who's... We got one name in the frame. Bogut. The big Boomer.
Yeah.
And then we have to look at the Opals, don't we? And find the centre in the Opals who he might be linked with, Roy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just struggling a little bit here, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you had it there in front of you.
Oh, sorry. No, I can easily get it. I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
It's Cambidge.
Yeah.
Cambidge. I think it got to do with Bogut making some unfortunate comments about policing and obviously... You know, Liz Cambidge taking offence at this, and then it's one thing, and was there a hug? And
he was just trying to fire her up. I think he was trying to get under her skin, you know, in a funny sort of...
He's a kooky bloke.
He's a kooky bloke, in a Bogut sort of way, you know? He likes to annoy people.
Yes.
That's Bogut's go.
Yes.
And she's responded to that.
Uh-huh.
Next thing you know, they're hugging. Now, she's insisting that Andrew hugged her, not she him.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying she hugged him, not he hugged her. So this hugging business, witnesses I've said, I've spoken to Andrew about it just quietly. I said, Andrew, did you give her a hug? He said, yeah.
Now,
I said, do you love her? He said, oh, come on.
Now,
you know what he's
what's
like.
The story about the court work? And, of course, you've got to read...
She reckons she could take him on one-on-one.
Yeah. Is that a euphemism?
And man? Give him a, what she's calling, a dust-up.
Roy and HG for Harvey Norman. Look and feel your best with a full range of personal grooming products.